Listen, listen, love, love. Listen, listen, love, love. Last week for the children's sermon, which was the first of the children's sermons that I wanted to do beginning each month, we talked about Elijah and how it was when he had fled the wrath of Jezebel and hiding in the cave in the Mount of God, Mount Horeb, Sinai, that he experienced the wind and the earthquake and the fire, but God was not in any of those. And if you remember, kids, we said that it was in the still, quiet voice, the small whisper of God, that he finally encountered the Lord. An aspect of this is listening, because sometimes when we're looking for God in the big and miraculous things of life and the dramatic things of life and the wondrous things of life, that is the earthquake, the fire, the wind, we can sometimes miss the word of the Lord. We can sometimes miss what God is revealing to us. We need to shh, be still, and know God. And this morning, as we have heard Subdeacon Stephen read the epistle lesson from James, and even as we looked at the gospel or heard the gospel being chanted this morning, I want us to continue this theme of encountering God, but primarily encountering God through listening, through hearing, through bridling our tongue. Listen, listen, love, love. That motto, by the way, was something that was used by the Kairos Prison Ministry that I was involved with a number of years ago. It's an ecumenical Christian ministry, and I had the opportunity as an Anglican priest to be able to serve on two of the weekends at Maryland Correctional Institute in Hagerstown. These were, as you know, probably know, this is a medium security facility with men that have been incarcerated, ranging in sentences for murder, to rape, arson, and other such crimes. And the Kairos Prison Ministry continued to stress this motto, listen, listen, love, love. That was our reminder as team members, that we went into that prison, that we encountered these men who had made poor decisions, who had made bad decisions, but that we were not to judge them. We were rather to enflesh the gospel by being real, by being genuine, acknowledging that it really only by the grace of God that perhaps we weren't sitting there. I mean, I think that most of us, in thinking about back some of the stupid things that we might have done, especially as young people, a few different other decisions, a few different other choices might have led us into a whole different path that might have landed us there. But by the grace of God, to listen, listen, love, love, to see the world, to see all of humanity, even those who are behind bars, as those who need to be listened to, as those who need to be understood, if ever we are to develop community with that group, if ever we are to be real in presenting the redemptive gospel, the redemptive message of God in Christ through in his gospel, to listen, listen, love, love. This is very consistent with this morning's epistle lesson from St. James. When St. James, in the first chapter, he is writing, they said, every good gift is, and every perfect gift is from above. It's from God, where there is no variation or shadow of turning. That God, in his eternity, bestows these gifts. And then he goes on to say, in verse 19 of James chapter 1. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I might add, wrath coming about from our own judgment of another. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. It's another way of saying, listen, love. You probably heard a parent or a teacher or somebody saying, God gave you two ears, but only one mouth, right? And we need to, which is our biological way of saying, we need to be listening more, we need to be hearing more than we need to be speaking. Because it's very often the tongue that gets in the way of our ability to listen, is it not? This whole ability to hear, to listen, is something that is really foundational to our faith. If you go back to what Israel considered as its greatest commandment, it was the Shema, right? The Shema, which literally is the Hebrew word, which means hear. Hear, O Israel, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel. In other words, listen, Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then Jesus in his teaching, when being asked about the greatest commandment, and he that came in reciting the Shema, Jesus added a chorus. He said, one other commandment I give you, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And what did he say? Jesus said, upon these two hang all the laws of God, and all the prophets are embodied. Hear, love, listen, love. The fact of the matter is that we need the ability to be able to communicate, to send and receive messages. But it really is more than that when it comes down to faith. Because God recognizes that in our fallenness, in our ability to become distracted with the worries and concerns of life, in our ability to become saddled and with anxiety, with our propensity to look at others with a critical and judging spirit, we lose the ability to receive God's word, to hear, to listen. To listen. Love. James goes on to describe how it is that the tongue can get us into all kinds of issues and problems. In the epistle lesson, he goes on to say, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. But then in chapter 3 of James, he goes on to describe the tongue as, even though it's one of the smallest organs of the body, how it is that the tongue can be so destructive. Remember the children's thing, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a big lie. We all know that, right? We all know that words can be hurtful. Words can be profoundly destructive and caustic and cutting and tearing others down. And James talks about the tongue as being like a ship's rudder. Even though it's among the smallest of the ship, it steers the whole ship. He said that, and he says in chapter 3 of his epistle, beginning in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. And he goes on in verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And this is also consistent with Psalm 140 that we chanted in the matins this morning. The poison of adders it describes in Psalm 140. He says in verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, that is, in the image of God. You see, what James is describing here, the Apostle James, who, by the way, is the brother of our Lord, the first bishop of Jerusalem, is telling us that above all things, it is the tongue. It is the tongue which brings forth the hellishness of our own soul, the darkness of our own souls, and bringing about destruction, and bringing about division and hurt. We need to bridle the tongue. This whole idea is also, of course, brought out in the teachings of our Lord, who said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. It's what comes out of the mouth, because it's what comes out of the mouth that really reveals the intentions and the attitudes of the heart. In fact, this is so true that in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, St. Paul, in citing Psalm 51, says that in our words we are justified. He didn't say in our actions, and of course our actions, through our actions we are justified, but he says in our words, what we say, by what we say we are justified, he said, so that you may withstand judgment. In other words, there is a sense in which we are judged by the things we say as much as what we do. Because the words that we speak reveal our heart. And in fact, in this upcoming presidential election, we know that each politician, each candidate, will use the words of the others as weapons to show how there was inconsistency in the things that they were saying, to see how they may have flip-flopped on issues. But really, if we look at it, we can be judged the same. Because St. James says that with the very tongue that we use to bless God, that we praise God, is the very tongue that we curse others, that we may speak lies, by which we may create dissension. It is a small organ, but it can be a very destructive organ. And if we're not listening, if we're not seeking to understand our brothers and our sisters, where they are in their hurt, where they are in their pain, where they are in their struggles, if all we're doing is running off at the mouth, especially if we're doing so in a way that is gossiping, in a way that is being critical or negative, then the tongue becomes a very destructive instrument. And it reveals the darkness of our own heart. Pamela and I, as you know, are tomorrow celebrating 29 years of marriage. And I got to say, I'm very blessed that she has stuck with me for these 29 years, because she, above all people, know the sinful man that she married, and the one with faults and failures that has struggled in his own faith. I stand before you, though, as pastor and priest, as one in journey with each of you, who struggles with sinful attitudes and intentions, who allows those sinful attitudes and intentions to sometimes be manifest in the way of words that are spoken. But there's a grace there that I'm just beginning to understand. and to learn. That when spoken correctly, when done as a way of that expression of listen, listen, love, love, even as there are moments that we do need to correct, that we do need to confront, that we do need to rebuke, we begin to see it as a husband and wife in love with each other, devoted to each other, but willing to reveal to the other those areas that need some correction. And what I've realized is that my job isn't to try to correct my wife. My job isn't try to fix her or to get her further along in the faith. My job is to love and to esteem her as a husband, as the priest of my family. And that through that grace, to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to bring me along, to enable me to see my own failures, past failures, my own critical or negative words, to repent of that and to start anew in a life of holy matrimony, of grace, of self-sacrifice, a willingness to listen, listen, love, love. You see, we oftentimes don't want to listen, listen, because we think we've got the other person figured out. We think that we've already got their motives pegged down. But the reality is that we are oftentimes making a false judgment, a false assumption, when we have failed to truly listen, to listen, to be quick to listen, swift to listen, and slow to speak. And how many of us, even as we were listening, we were preoccupied with what we were going to say next and not really listening, especially as an issue may have gotten heated. As we continue to grow, even as a fledgling mission, I want to encourage us that while the tongue can certainly be a destructive weapon, and it can, especially as we may have somebody has offended us, somebody has said something unknowingly and unwittingly, but when we, as we are offended, fail to go to that person as Scripture teaches us, and to, in love, confront the person, to be able to inform the person that you were offended, and we begin to instead talk to the others, it creates a horrible situation in which we are tearing apart community. One of the things that I just so appreciate about Subdeacon Stephen, besides the fact that he's been with me from the beginning and that he's made this commitment, God willing, will be moving towards holy orders, to ordination, to the diaconate, if God wills it. But one of the things that I've so appreciated about Subdeacon Stephen, and not to the exclusion of others, but Subdeacon Stephen has always been willing to come to me and to say, Father, and to bring about a certain revelation in which perhaps I had done something unwittingly or unknowingly where I might have offended or something that I did not do well. But instead of grumbling about it, instead of grousing about it to others, Subdeacon Stephen has been a wonderful partner in ministry, in using his tongue not in a way that cuts me down, rips me up, and dishonors my leadership, but in a way that honors my leadership, in a way in which he has created an environment that I can see those things that maybe I didn't see before, be able to give me a new perspective, and to be able to carry on in a way by which I was encouraged. Leadership is often a lonely place, whether it's in the priesthood or as teachers in a classroom or as in a president of a company. Leaders are always going to be targets of those beneath them. And we get that by human nature. But the church also gets that. And that's why the church has warned so strongly against this destructive tendency. Do you know, among the first canons of the church, that is, the rules that the early church set forth, were among that first set were the 85 canons, also known as the apostolic canons. And you know, within those canons, there are two specific canons related to both the priesthood and to laity regarding the things we say. The one canon for priests says, if a presbyter, that is a priest, if a presbyter insults his bishop or says disparaging things about his bishop, he is deposed. That means he's defrocked. He's no longer a priest. And if a lay person says, insults the bishop or their presbyter, their priest, they are excommunicated, cut off from the sacraments. And I don't know about you, but that's a really sobering reminder to me. You know, we priests can get together and we can kind of grumble about maybe decisions that the bishop made. But these canons, consistent with Scripture, is telling us, bridle the tongue. It's destructive to community. Rather, listen, listen. Love, love. This is how true community, this is how the church is built. The ministry of hearing, of listening, is something that even occurs within the very Godhead. We heard Jesus, the Lord, teaching in the gospel lesson this morning from John chapter 16, when he said in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you now, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but listen to this, whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So this hearing, this listening, has its source in the very essence of God, in the triune God, in the Holy Spirit who hears the Father and who proclaims the truth. We need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded that our tongue is not made for cutting others down, for gossiping, for negative and demeaning words, for words that can destroy. But rather our tongue is for blessing, for loving. Yes, there are those times when we need to rebuke, when we need to correct. But let us do so with that spirit of love, guided by the Holy Spirit, in the discipline of the church, in the mutual accountability that we share and enjoy, so that we might be and continue to be a healthy body, a healthier, more cohesive community. That even as we have offenses, we allow the other the grace of knowing that they have offended, the grace of being able to repent. Because that's the other thing that happens when we don't confront, is we don't allow the other. If my wife had never revealed to me those things that were problematic to her, I never would have known. They were a part of my blind spot. So as I've only begun to learn, let us be swift to listen, slow to speak. And when we do speak, let our words be measured. Let our words be words of encouragement, words of edification, words of support. Because Lord knows that we're taking a beating from the world. We shouldn't be getting it within the church. Let us give thanks. Let us give thanks for this glorious time of the year. Thanks for this new couple who've come into the church, Father Jonathan and Tamara, seeing the growth that continues to happen, even in a body whose members are struggling sinners like you and me, knowing that in her whole, in the true community of the church, it is continuing through these 2,000 years to carry out the mandate of the gospel, to listen, love, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.